Morning, everybody. So, Bain Tarm and Achar Truma, Yud Gimel Amad Aleph, two dots. Masnis and Mani, who is our Mishnah Rekiva, it's Rekiva Dutnana Shutvin Chitarmu Zachar Zef. You had two business partners that jointly owned the field or produce, and they gave Truma one after the other. Rebelezer says, Truma Shnehem Truma. The Truma of both of them is Truma. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Again, we reject Rabbi Eliezer. We don't like to say that he is the Tana of our Mishnah. That's his opinion. Rabbi Akiva Omer in Truma Shneim Truma. He says, nah, doesn't work at all. Rashi notes even the first Truma wouldn't work because the second one's saying, you know, that he didn't agree to the first Truma if he's coming and giving Truma again. Right? If we've got two business partners, they both need to agree to be giving the Truma. So if the person changes, you know, the second one, then that's an issue as well. And this brisa continues. Achachamim omrim tarim harishon kashir in truma sasheni truma vimlo tarim kashir truma sasheni truma. So the chachamim say no. If the first person gave kashir, now what do you mean kashir? Does anybody know what the biblical minimum? What the biblical minimum for truma is?
One anything. It's a mashahu.
So what do you mean kashir if the person didn't give enough? Obviously he gave enough. By definition of giving truma, he gave enough. So the answer is that this is not talking about the shear of how much is biblically required, but rather what is considered ba'ayin yafe, a nice amount. So, you know, if the, or at the very least, the middle amount, right? Because you can give 1/40th, 1/50th, 1/60th. So if people gave, you know, less than, you know, if someone gave 1/60th, the second business partner has the right to go ahead and give 1/50th or 1/40th. Okay. And that's going to be the machlokas. Here, our Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Akiva to say that truma achar truma doesn't work. When it's a case of two partners, the first one doesn't even work. When it's the person themselves, though, the first one presumably does work. Okay? The only reason why it doesn't work is because in the case of partners, the second partner is coming ahead and saying, I didn't agree to this first truma. Okay. So if we continue, that was the case in the Mishnah. If we went from Truma to Temura. The ain't Temura osa Temura, my time, what's the reason? Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Utmura so, and his Temura, velo Temuras Temura so. It's only his Temura animal that becomes holy, but not the Temura of his Temura animal. Meaning there's no second degree Temura. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says, and it's because of this Pasuk, Utmura so. Only the first degree will be holy. By the way, I checked up some of the translations, and they said kids rather than a fetus. But again, I didn't check ours plural. Okay, I mean, I didn't check.
When it said offspring.
Yeah, I didn't check ours plural because none of the ours plural gemaras were on the shelf. So any mistakes I make, now we know who to blame. Okay, says the gemara. Ve'ein, let's continue. Ve'ein havlat osa temura, which is what we were just talking about, that offspring of the temura. Offspring of Hektish cannot make Temura. Why not? Asked the Gemara. De Amar Kra, that the Torah says, who velo Vlad? Because it says, Vehaya hu usmura so ya kodesh, it and its Temura will be kodesh, but that comes to exclude it and not its offspring.
It's an offspring article.
Oh, okay. It's okay. Thank you for filling that in.
Now I was right with
okay.
The
Okay. Yeah. Continues the Gemara. Rabbi Huda, Omer Rabbi Huda, as we said, disagrees, and he says, Avlad osa temura. Why is that? Asked the Gemara. What's his reason? Damar kra, yihya l'rabos es havlad. Yihya, the word v'hayos hu smura so, yihya kodesh. Yihya is an inclusionary word. I guess it didn't need to be said, and therefore, Rabbi Huda says this includes that even if you do temura on a vlad, it will still work, and you'll still have the punishment, and you'll still have the repercussions of the temura. V'rabbanan l'rabos shogeh k'mezid. And Rabbanan say, no. That needs to teach you that if you somehow did temura in a shogeg way. Now, shogeg doesn't always mean accidentally. I should step in here to explain what shogeg means altogether. Shogeg in general means you had some misunderstanding or mistake that you made in the process. It doesn't necessarily mean it was done like without knowledge. Like, people think, like, oh, if I accidentally turn on the light on Shabbos with my shoulder, then I'm a shogeg.
Negligence?
That's not the case. Shogeg is not negligence. It's lacking some piece of information, usually.
Translated as unintentional.
Intent,
yeah. Right?
Intent.
Yeah. So, unintentional, but that's what I'm saying. Unintentional, especially for Shabbos, people make this mistake. Unintentional can mean I didn't even plan on doing that. Shogeg is I planned on doing that because of some sort of false information. Exactly. or some sort of mistake. You know, Rashi has a different case here, but it tells you that unintentional is the same as intentional when it comes to Temura. Even if you didn't, correct, you didn't know exactly what was going on here, whatever detail it is, and you can see Rashi fills it in. Kasavar la'amir shachar, ha'amir lavan, you thought you wanted to be Mamer the black one, you were Mamer the white one. Whatever it is, you made some sort of mistake, that's still going to be considered a shogeg, and it's still going to be like as if you did it b'mezid, you still get the avera, and the consequences are still there. Okay. On to the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah tells us a whole list of cases in which Temura does not apply. Says the Mishnah, Ofos v'amenachos ein osin Temura. So, number one, it only applies to animals. It doesn't apply to birds. It doesn't apply to menachos. Shelo nemar ela behema, because it literally says in the Pasuk, it's about a behema. Okay? Hatibur v'ashutvin ein osin Temura. You have another point. The entire community or partners can't do Temura together. It has to be an individual. Shenemar says, lo yachlifenu velo yamir. It says, he should not swap it. You know, so that means only the individual. Okay? Yachid osa Temura venatsibur vashut venosin Temura. Comes to teach us that an individual does Temura, but not more than one person. Kache bere kabayis inosin Temura. If you thought you could do Temura even when something's just donated to the Beis HaMikdash itself, for the Bedek HaBayis, that's not true either. Amar Rav Shimon, and Rav Shimon explains this. How do we know? So here's some background as an order. There are two places where the Torah gives the rules of Temura. Did you come across this yet in one of the Dafim when I wasn't here or something?
Yeah, one of the early Dafim.
One of the early Dafim that I probably didn't do, which means it was Test Yod or Yod Aleph, probably. No, sorry. Yeah, Test Yod or Yod Aleph, because I did the other one, so I would have come across it. Now, there's two cases. Case number one is a classic case of Temura. We're told, you know, if you have a karban and you switch it out and all the rules of Temura. Also, immediately following the pasuk of Ma'aser Behema, we have another pasuk, Lo yivakir ben tov l'rav lo yirenu v'im harim ha'mer yirenu v'ayus marzo yekodesh lo yiga'el. Okay, another pasuk that comes right after Ma'aser Behema. So basically, there's general karbanos and Ma'aser Behema where we both get the commandment not to do Temura. So Rav Shimon's going to zone in on that. And he says, Vare maser bichlal haya, vilama yatsa. Says Rav Shimon, one second. Why would I have not assumed that maser was part of the regular rules for Temura? Why do I need to have a repetition of the rules of Temura, specifically by maser? Lomar lecha, says the pasuk, says Rav Shimon, the pasuk teaches you, ma maser korban yachid, yatsu korban os tzibur, uma maser korban mizbeach, yatsu korban os bedek habayis. So Rav Shimon says, because Maser teaches you the type of korban that will apply to that the general rule of Temura will apply to. So just like it's an individual korban, it will only apply to individual korbanos. Just like it's a korban mizbeach, it will only apply to things that are run on the mizbeach and not to bedek habayis. That's what the rule of Temura applies to because of the second pasuk. Okay, so that's the way he explains the Mishnah. Let's continue. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan. One might think that, and we're just going to bring a longer brisa, which sort of really, you know, hammers out some of the details of our Mishnah. One might have thought that Kachi Berek Abayis would also have the rules of Temura. Talmud Lamar, Korban. The pasuk tells us it has to be a Korban. Misha Nikru Korban. This only includes things which are called a Korban, meaning Kachi Mizbeach. Yasu Kachi Berek Abayis, Shalom Nikru Korban. This excludes Kachi Berek HaBayis, which are not called the Karban. If you have some questions from previous Dafim, hold them. I know that we had a Daf together which can question this. Velo, ask the Gemara, what do you mean? It's not called the Karban. Vatanya, we have a Braisa. E Karban. And it came, this was in the case, I believe, of Shchut Echutz, where we had it up just a few Dafim ago. Says the Gemara, we've got another Braisa, which seems to imply that even Kachi Berek HaBayis are called Karban. E Karban, if it's referring to a Karban, Shomani, Afilu Kachi Berek HaBayis, Shenikru Karban. Kinyan Shene Emar, in this upcoming week's Parsha, Vana Kreves Korban Hashem, Isha Shem Asach, Li Zahav, Etz Adav, Etz Amit, Tabas, Agil, Kumaz, right? It's all sorts of Berek HaBayis related stuff. It's not talking about something which you bring on the Mizbeach. You don't bring, you know, materials and all sorts of other things on the Mizbeach. So we see that is called the Korban too. So in that case, the Shchut Echutz, we say, Tamar Lomar, Vel Pesach HaMoed Lo Heviyo. It has to be something that's brought to the entrance of the Ol Moed. Kol HaBal Pesach Ol Moed Chayav and Alav Mishum Shchut Echutz. V'chol She'eino Bala Pesach Ol Moed Inu Chayav and Alav Mishum Shchut Echutz. So we do see from that brisa, in summary, that Kachi Berek HaBayis are called Korban. We specifically have to bring another Pasuk to exclude them from that halacha. So how come here we're suddenly saying, oh, it says Karpan, so that means only Kachim Mizbech and not Bedek HaBayis. We see explicitly the opposite. Right? Alma Ikru Karpan. We see they are called the Karpan. Amar Rabbi Chanina. Chanina says, don't worry about it. Lokasha. We can answer it by saying it's a Machlokas. HaRabbi Shimon, HaRabbanan. Le Rabbi Shimon Ikri Karban. Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that it's called the Karban. Le Rabbanan Lo Ikri Karban. And according to the Rabbanan, it's not called the Karban. And we can be following the Rabbanan to say that that's why it would be excluded. I should note, by the way, something that I just thought of right now, Rabbi Shimon can learn this all out from Maser, as he did in the Mishnah. Right? It's not a problem for Rabbi Shimon to believe that it's called the Karban, because Rabbi Shimon is big into this Maaser comparison for Temura. So he can say, it's true, it might have included, based on Karban, you would have included Kachi Berek HaBayis in Temura, but Maaser comes to teach you that you don't. Whereas for the Rabbanan, who don't have this limud of Rabbi Shimon's, we can't say that it's included in Karban, because then they would say that you have to that you would have Temura also for Kachi Berek HaBayis. Okay. Now, asks the Gemara, Velo? Really? Rabbanan don't call it a Karban? You forgot one part of the Braisa. V'yaksiv v'anakreves Karban Hashem. But at the end of the day, we opened with the Pasuk that called Kachei Berek HaBayis a Karban. So how can the Rabbanan disagree with the Pasuk? Says the Gemara, Karban Hashem Ikri, Karban La Hashem Lo Ikri. It's called a Karban Hashem that goes together. It's not called a regular Karban, which goes La Hashem. If it said in the Pasuk Karban La Hashem, it would mean we'd call it a Karban, and it's simply going to Hashem. However, no, it's called a Korban Hashem. That's something different than a Korban. Okay, fine. However happy you may be with that, let's move on. I know when you guys are annoyed by now. That's at least one skill I've picked up in Daf Yomi. Okay, let's get on. Now we get to Rabbi Shimon and Mordechai. Tana Rabbanan, lo yivaker ben tov l'rav lo yimirenu. Okay, which is, again, the second pasuk. One is Vayikra Chavzayin Yud. That's the general Temura Pasuk, and this one is Chavzayin Lamed Gimel. So, we quote that second Pasuk by Maaser. Lama Namar, asks the Gemara. V'alo kvar Namar lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiru sotov v'ra rabitov. Why is this Pasuk repeated by Maaser? We already were told lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiru, so why do we need a second Pasuk? V'chule, or v'gomer. Sorry. Lefi shenamar lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiru so. Mashma korban yachid korban tzibur korban mizbeach korban bedek abayis. If you would just say lo yachlifenu v'lo yamiru, so that would include the following cases: yachid, tzibur, mizbeach, bedek abayis. You can include whatever you want in that. It doesn't give any criteria whatsoever. Says Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, Talmud lomar lo yivaker. Lo yivaker. The second pasuk tells you no. It's very limited in scope. Okay. Whatever that means. There's other girsos here. I'm going to continue reading in the Gemara. So, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon sort of says and explains this. Vare Maser b'chlal haya. Maser was already included. V'lama yatza. And why does there seem to be an exception that the Torah has to repeat it for Maser? Lomar l'chat to tell you, ma Maser korban yachid, just like Maser, is an individual korban v'korban mizbeach, and it's only something goes in mizbeach, not berek habayis. V'davar sheba b'chova, and it's a chova. Okay, and he keeps on finding all of the different details of a korban maaser. V'davar she'eno b'shutzfus, and a maaser can't be b'shutzfus. Af kol korban yachid, korban mizbeach, v'davar sheba b'chova, v'davar she'eno ba b'shutzfus. Those things will have the rules of Temura applied to them, nothing else. So anything which falls under those four categories, obviously altogether. And if it doesn't fall in any one of these categories, it is not considered to have the rules of Temur apply to it, according to Rabbi Shimon. So again, those have to be individual, go on the Mizbeach, has to be an obligation, and it can't be a partnership. Are the two psukim next to each other? Mm-hmm. They're somewhat close, but why does it have to be a hekesh? It's the same rule. I mean, I don't even know if you need, you know, to say the same word. I don't know if you need a technical hekesh, is what I'm saying. But yes, it functions as a general hekesh. This only applies to this. Although, by the way, I mean, as Rashi notes, there are some drashos that we get these individual laws from. Presumably, those go according to Rabbanan, I would guess. But there are drashos which we learn some of these things out. So this was Rabbi Shimon's opinion. He's explaining why we repeated these psukim elsewhere by Maaser, for the following reasons, to give us a definition of when this applies. Rebbe Omer, however, Rebbe says, no. Lama yatzas maaser. Why, Lama Yatza's Maaser Meyata, why is it that Maaser, again, was sort of excluded from this? Lidon bitmuras shemo bitmuras gufo. Says Rebbe, the reason why it was repeated by Maaser is for an entirely different reason. It's not to learn out criteria for general tamura. It's because you have a different type of tamura that's relevant by Maaser. You guys, you know, your eyes should open up. What? We missed a type of tamura? What type of tamura are you talking about? Well, says Rebbe, you have tamuras shemo and tamuras gufo. Tamuras shemo. Okay, and you can see basically in Rashi, you can see this in Tosfos. Tamuras shemo, and we're going to see the details of them now, and tamuras gufo are two different types of tamura. One type of tamura that you can do is regular tamura. Okay? That's basically tamuras gufo. Okay? Tamuras shemo is when you call the wrong names when you're counting Maaser Behema. You remember all those weird cases we had in Bechoros, where you say, call 9, 10, and 10, 9, and 11, 9, and 11, right? In all those cases, you're also effectively substituting the wrong animal. And that's why, because you called it the wrong name. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says it's coming for, because you have an extra tamura. Now, let's explain. What Rabbi's going to say is because, and the Gemara is going to get to this in a moment, but I'm just going to say it now because it's going to confuse people. Otherwise, if not for the fact that we had this pasuk here, we'd assume they were only the rules of the other tamura when it came to Maaser Behema and not the rules of regular tamura. That's the way Rabbi's going to learn it. But let's read through the Gemara, which is going to clarify what I just said. Take that as an introduction, if you will. Lomer lecha, tamuras shemo kareva. So if you accidentally swap out the name and you call the wrong one tenth, that one is brought as a korban. Tamuras gufo eno kareva. But what's the rule with a regular tamura? Can you bring it as a korban? No. Tamuras shemo nig'eles. There's a geula. You can redeem something if you called it the wrong name. Tamuras gufo eno nig'eles. But there's no redemption once you do a real regular tamura. Tamuras gufo chala al davar harai val davar she'eno rai. If you do tamuras gufo, a regular tamura, it can apply kedusha even to things that are not fitting, like a balmum. Right? In the case of regular tamura, that's really what happens. If you try to take a regular animal, turn the kedusha into a balmum, it will make that balmum kadosh. However, tamuras shmo eno chala al davar harai. For a tamuras shmo, for when you're counting, it only goes on something which is fitting, a non-balmum which comes out in his place. Bilvad. So Amri Mishum, so they said to him, Mishum de Rabbi Rahmana de Esbe Tmura Shmo Igrue Igra. Ask the Gemara 1 second. It's a very nice point that you're making that there's two types of Tamura here. Granted. Rebbe, great job. However, just because it has Tamura Shmo also means I would assume that it wouldn't be included in Tamura Skufo. Why ever not? Does it get any worse because it has this other rule that applies to it? Answers the Gemara, in, yes, the Amrinan Mai de Rabbi Rabbi will say, whatever was included in that particular case is included, Umay de Lo Rabbi, but what wasn't explicitly stated, Lo Rabbi would not be included. And therefore, says Rabbi, if you wouldn't have this pasuk of regular Tamura, of Tamuras Gufo, right after Maaser, we would assume Maaser would be an exception to the laws of Tamura. Any questions?
In what sense would it be?
The laws of Tamura would not apply to it. You'd say when it comes to, we'd have a Gemara which said, comes Maaser Behema to tell you that you only have Tamuras Shemo and not Tamuras Gufo. That's the way the Gemara would end here. It would say Maaser is an exception, that the regular rules of swapping out the Kedusha of Korban only apply in that case when you accidentally call the other one the wrong name, but not when you do your magical Tamura act that you do in Tamura. Okay? That's how we would conclude. Okay. Asks the Gemara. Well, we're not fully done. I should have waited till the next part, actually. V'hamehecha tesi. Where have you ever heard of such a rule like this? That it gets weaker because it has this rule. Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua. It's a rule, in fact, says the Gemara. Mishum d'hava davar ha-balidon b'davar ha-chadash. Because it's coming to teach us a new rule. V'ein bo elach hidusho b'vad. And the rule is we only learn the new chiddush, again, of Tamuras Shemo. So that's really where we get up to. Okay, fine. Ad kan, we've dealt with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's shita, with his shita that he says that the pasuk comes by Maaser to teach us that Tamuras Gufo applies in addition to Tamuras Shemo. Fine. Now we get back to nitpicking with the shita of Rabbi Shimon, right? In the Gemara, on the last line of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, we started our listing of all his criteria that he requires for it to fall under the category of Temura. One of those questions was the following. He said it needs to be, I'm going to quote his exact words, Davar Sheba Bechova. It needs to come as an obligation. What about, as the Gemara is going to ask some questions now, do certain things fall under that category or not? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, L'Rava. Rav Nachman also said L'Rav, to Rava. L'Rav Yishimon to Amar Davar Abba Bechova. According to Rav Yishimon, it says that only something which comes as an obligation you're going to have the rules of Temura apply to. Olas Chova hi de'avda Temura. Certainly when it comes to an Ola which you're required to bring, okay, there's certain times where you have to bring an Ola, for forgiveness and things like this. Olas Re'iya, yep. Other cases as well. In all those cases, we get it. That's an Olas Chova. Certainly he's going to say that Temura applies to those cases. Ha, this would, however, we can make a diuk from here. Olas Nedava lo. If it was just a voluntary Ola, then if you tried to do Temura, you would not be over. Amar le, Olas Nedava Nami. Rava says, nope. And Olas Nedava, you can also do Temura on, even according to Rabbi Shimon. Why? Kevan de Kabla le Avda Temura. Since you're accepting it on yourself, it's like it's an obligation for you now. And therefore, even according to Rabbi Shimon, you can make it into a Temura. That's the reality. So if that's the case, you know, there's an implied question in the Gemara. What was Rabbi Shimon coming to exclude then? Right? Like, if he's saying it has to be obligatory, so what does he mean by non-obligatory if any voluntary korban is included? Answers the Gemara, v'lo nitzracha ela le'ola haba'a min ha-mosaros. Have you come across this concept before? Yes, no, maybe so? Okay, let's go with a maybe so. Sort of. When you have extra money that was supposed to go towards a korban, and there ends up being extra money that was pledged towards it, at some point we'll bring an ola with leftover money. That's what you'll do with the leftovers. So in that case, it's really not a korban that's even voluntary. It's just you overpaid on your bill for how much the animal should have cost, basically. And in that case, it's going to be considered ola haba min hamosaros. His ola comes from leftover money. Micah Savar, what does he hold in this case? Meaning, if he says that the only case that's excluded is ola haba min hamosaros, what does he hold in that case? Says the Gemara, Ika savar la kemand amar mosaros lenidvas sibur azli pshita de lo avda tmura. Well, because there's two opinions in that case. One of them says that the extra money goes in general to a nidava of the tzibur. It goes to a general communal korban. It's not an individual korban with the leftover money, it's a communal korban, if that's the case. Will Rabbi Shimon say that you can do tmura on that? No, because it violates another one of his criteria. It violates the tzibur part of his criteria, so he would never say that that's the case where you'd even have a hava amina to do temura. So why would he need to bring a different criteria in order to exclude this case? No one would ever think that that was the case in first place. Why? Because it's a korban tzibur. So says the Gemara, obviously, right? Ha, ain't temura b'tzibur, right? As we said, there's no temura b'tzibur, so that wouldn't even be a hava amina. El Rabbi Shimon sfir lei kaman d'amar mosaros l'nidvas yachid. So Rabbi Shimon must hold of the opinion that says that it goes to an individual's korban. In which case he's coming to exclude this individual korban, and that's why he has to tell us it's only for obligatory korbanos, not for korbanos which come from extras. Says the Gemara, that's very nice, but we've got a problem. Says Man Shamit, asks the Gemara, right? Ela Rabbi Shimon Sfir like Kamanda Amar Mosaros and Nidvas Yachin Azli Man Shamit Lei. Who's that opinion? Hi Sfar Rabbi Eliezer. And that opinion is Rabbi Eliezer's far. And as we said, we have a bias against Rabbi Eliezer these days. Hashem inan le behedya di avda tmura. He says, however, if you look at the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, he is of the opinion that it actually works as a tmura in that case. So we're trying to associate Rabbi Shimon with an opinion which is completely contradictory to him. On the one hand, we're saying we want it to be an olas yachid. We want the mosaros to be a yachid, so there would be a havamin as to why he has to come to exclude it. But on the other hand, that very opinion says that it does work when it's considered to be an olas yachid. So how could we possibly square the circle? D'tanya, and we learned this in a brisa, ola haba min ha-mosaros, o setmura, divrei Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer explicitly says this, so how can we deal with this? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Shimon la-saros kavasei b'chada, o palagalei b'chada. Says, that's no problem. We're not saying Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Eliezer. We're simply saying he holds of one of Rabbi Eliezer's shitos. Now, the shita which he holds of is to say that it's a korban yachid. Therefore, in his opinion, hava amina, that this would even be included in the laws of Temura. Kamash Malan, it has to be something which is obligatory, therefore it's not included. However, he says, Rabbi Lazar can say what he wants about whether or not it becomes a Temura. I'm not beholden to that. Okay, and that's how we'll resolve this stira. Right? Do Rabbi Lazar suffer? Ola abamin avasaros osa Temura. V'ihu suffer ain osa Temura. Because Rabbi Lazar holds that it does make Temura, and he holds it doesn't make a Temura. Okay, now we get to the complicated case of the day. Ihachi, if so, Dibaya Rabbi Avin, and apparently you guys learned this already on tests. This was brutal. I tried to learn this. I was like, holy smokes, what's going on? There's like 17 different pieces that fit in here. So you guys learned this on Daf Tess, so you all know this, so you'll, I'm sure, be running through it right when I explain it to you now for the second time. But, I mean, if you want, you could explain it to me. I could have used that yesterday. Dibaya Rabbi Avin. So Rabbi Avin had the following question. Now we're going to ask, if Rabbi Shimon holds that it doesn't make a Temura on this in all these cases, what would be the halach in the case of Rabbi Avin, who said the following case? Hifrish asam asham lehiskaper bo, vehemir bo. Okay, so he sets aside an asham, we'll call it animal number one, is set aside as an asham. He's a rasha, so he decides to be meimir, his asham number one, okay, and he takes and he makes holy another animal. We'll call the animal number two. Okay, now animal number two came via Temura. So he did Temura on animal number one to give him Kiddush on animal number two. Now at this point, animal number one, Nebuch, develops a mum. Oyvei. So now he has to redeem animal number one, his original Asham, onto another animal that he's supposed to be bringing. Animal number three. Animal number three is his replacement. He didn't do Temura with it. Now animal number three gets lost. Okay, it wasn't a complicated enough story yet. So he gets animal number four to replace animal number three, which was redeeming his original Asham. So now if Asham number two, which is animal number four, right? Because this is the animal that he actually brings as an Asham. And now the question is, what if he does Temura with number four? Does that Temura work, being that he already did Temura number one, which was really the same Korban? Right or not? That was the question that he asked. Boy, what a lumden. Hifrish Asham lehiskaper bo. He set aside an Asham to get a chaparan vehemir, and he did Temura on it. Bo vehiskaper ba Asham acher, and he ended up using a completely different Asham, meaning because he lost his one that was in the middle. Vinita kuzela ola. And now what happens is great news. He found the middle animal that he lost. So what do you do in that case? You bring that as an ola. So the question is, based on what we know about Rabbi Shimon's shita, now what would, well, the question is really, how would we resolve Rabbi Avin's shita? Mahu. Mahu sheyachzor v'yamir bo. What's halacha for this ola now? Sorry, never mind the second case of Asham. Sorry, the ola now, can I go ahead and do Temura on that? Or do we say that that has Kedusha as well, and I already was meimir it one time earlier? Sorry, it's not the second Asham that you do Temura on, it's this ola. Aliva deman. Ask the Gemara, well, who's he asking according to? Ilem aliva de Rabbi Shimon. If you're going to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, ha'amris Rabbi Shimon sfirle ola abamin amasar senos Temura. Rabbi Shimon says even an ola which comes from extra money wouldn't do a Temura. For sure this case, presumably you wouldn't do a Temura as well. It's a similar type situation.
Well, this case has two negatives. Shinui Hashem and Shinui Aguv.
So that the Gemara is going to discuss in 1 second. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Avin Hachi Kamabayale. We're getting there in 1 second. Im Mishkachas Tani Dekayinka Rabbi Shimon Damar Ein Memirin V'chozinu Memirin. Says the Gemara, no. Rabbi Avin was asking according to Rabbi Shimon in one way and not according to Rabbi Shimon in the other way. He says, if you find the Tana holds like Rabbi Shimon, that you can't do Temura twice, Usfira Leker Rabbi Eliezer Damar Ola Baman Osaros Osa Temura, and also holds of the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who says you do Temura in a case where Olos come from extra money, there would be a din of Temura there. Mahu Sheyafsar V'yamer, but what would be the halacha? Would you be able to do Temura again on this second, on this Ola, or not? Meaning, would it be comparable to Ola Bamin Amasaros like Rabbi Eliezer, even though we've already done Temura once, which is like Rabbi Shimon, if you found a Tana that held like that combination? That's why he was asking it. And says the Gemara, Bishnei Gufin V'Kedusha Achas Mai, because this is really a question of, right, as we said, there's two things, there's Shinui HaGuf and Shinui Kedusha. So the Gemara says, this question was asked in regards to, in our case, when you have two bodies, meaning two different animals, but one Kedusha, meaning it's all really stemming from that same original obligation. He had an obligation of an Asham, and the Asham really made the second animal into an Ola. Right? So Mai, that would be one question. V'im Tim Salomar Kedusha Achas, maybe this should say lo. Right, Kedusha Achas Ella, right? Vimtes Lower Kedusha Achas, if you're going to come to say that when it has Kedusha Achas, then you can't do it, and it's considered too close still, meaning because they both stem from the same source, you would say no. Once you've done it once, you can't do it again. What would you say? Ella Shtei Kedushos V'Gusha Guf Echad Mai Tiba'i. What would be the halacha? You could still ask according to Rabbi Avin, what would be the halacha if you had two separate kedushos on the same animal? Somehow, meaning you had to redeem it and then it came back, whatever the case was. And that would also be a question, says the Gemara, Tibai. It's true, you have to ask that. I don't know the answer. So great, a high note to end on. But with that in mind, just Hadron halacha, kol mamirim, and thank you all.